All right, so here's the deal. We're doing part two today. You guys all know about DraftKings. We've got a new slate of games tomorrow. If you ever have not participated in DraftKings, and I know that's a lot of you, now is the time. Tomorrow, do it. It's fun. Evan does it. I do it. Bri does it sometimes. We love it. It's fun. Here's the deal with DraftKings, okay? The beauty of it is you're picking a new team every week. You got your salary cap. And here's what I love about it. You can play against your friends, or you can play against people that are beginners just like you. It's not like you're playing against like Evan or people like that. They've got software where they know how many times an IP address has played and stuff like that. They're all over it. So you guys can do that. All you have to do is go to DraftKings and use the promo code FEAST, and you get to play free with your first deposit for your chance to win a lot of money tomorrow. And I mean a lot of money. That's promo code FEAST to play for free with your first deposit for your share of a lot of money. DraftKings is the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Again, just use that awesome code FEAST at DraftKings.com. You will not regret it.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly!
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast, part two, the show that's so nice we do it twice, and we are presented, as you can see in our logo, when you download or listen to the podcast, by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast with the best odds and the fastest payouts. Speaking of odds and paying out, we are paying out for those of you that take advantage of the Amazon banner ad landing page deal over at rostucker.com. Send me an order for anything. I know you guys are buying stuff. Send it to me, ross@rostucker.com. You'll be automatically entered to win the men that I'm giving out on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on Monday. Just let me know if you want a PS4 code or an Xbox code. All right, Evan, we did on Wednesday, we did the three Turkey Day games, which means we have to get to the rest of the slate today to make sure everybody's ready for week 12 in the NFL. Of course, most of you already know he's Evan Silva. He's kind of a living legend, if you will. He runs the show over at rotoworld.com. You can check him out on Twitter, like I do, at Evan Silva. Even his retweets are valuable, poignant information that you need to know from beat writers or whomever. I'm just Ross Tucker, a former offensive lineman that, like I said on Wednesday, thoroughly impressed by Evan's knowledge each and every week here on the Fantasy Feast podcast. Speaking of impressed, all right, I know a lot of you are like me, and you ate way, 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 way too much on Thanksgiving. And really, there's only one way to feel better about that. A free trial of Stamps.com. Think about it. Makes perfect sense. Rather than standing in line at the post office, if you go to Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer and printer. Then the mailman picks it up. They'll even send you a digital scale if you want. Now, you're thinking to yourself, Ross, how does that help me after I ate too much on Thanksgiving? Because now you have more time to work out or to exercise because you're not standing in line at the miserable post office. I love postal workers, by the way. I love postal workers. But it's usually not a pleasurable experience being at the post office. Look, I use Stamps.com because I like saving money and I don't like wasting time. Right now, you can enjoy Stamps.com with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without the long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in fantasy. That's Stamps.com, enter fantasy. I know a lot of you guys have your own businesses. This is the way to do it. Or even if you work for a small business, medium-sized business, I don't care what it says. Stamps.com, click the microphone, put in fantasy. All right, Evan, it's time for part two, which is all of the Sunday 1 o'clock, Sunday 4 o'clock, the night game, and the Monday night game. Part one was just the three Thanksgiving Day games. So let's start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Atlanta Falcons. Feels like the Falcons have it going a little bit now offensively.
Yeah, so I think this is a good spot for Matt Ryan. We haven't seen a big ceiling from him, but he has been a solid floor play recently. In four of his last five games, he's been a top 14 fantasy quarterback on the week. That, you know, again, it's, we've accepted by now that it's not going to be anything like it was last year. But I think that he's a solid play here. And I think he does have enough upside against Bucs pass defense that ranks 28th in Football Outsiders DVOA. Got lit up off the bench by Matt Moore last week. I think he has enough upside to be a daily fantasy play, along with Julio Jones, who we'll get to in a minute. My favorite running back play on a per dollar basis in daily fantasy this week is Tevin Coleman. We saw him get a bunch of work last week against Seattle, struggled as we kind of expected, but he's going to get 20 plus touches against a bad defense that is going to be without Robert Ayers, defensive end. He has been a top eight run defender at Pro Football Focus among defensive ends on the season. I think that this can be a blow up spot for Julio Jones. I know that people have kind of given up on that. Dude is fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. The Buccaneers get smashed by perimeter receivers. We saw Kenny Stills go off against them last week. They've given up the second most fantasy points to wide receivers on the year. I know Julio Jones has one touchdown on the season, but again, he's fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. It's not like he's playing poorly. He's just been very inefficient in the red zone. He's actually top 10 in the NFL, or top four in the NFL, in targets inside the 10-yard line. I think he's just on the wrong end of touchdown variance right now, and that will happen sometimes for players. Mohamed Sanu has been the most steady member of the Falcons' passing game, and going up against this this Tampa Bay defense that gave up a bunch of production last week to Jarvis Landry, got beaten up badly by Larry Fitzgerald, Danny Amendola, Adam Thielen, Kendall Wright had seven catches against him. Mohamed Sanu, like all those guys, plays in the slot. He's got a good matchup, and he's been reliable week to week. Austin Hooper's playing time was way down last week. That was disappointing to see. I'm trying to get away from him as a streamer this week. Ryan Fitzpatrick on the other side. You know, this game has some shootout potential at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. And I'm in some leagues that are deep enough to where I'm going to be using Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't love it. You know, I really like the Falcons defense this week as well. But I think that he can do enough to, not hurt me at the quarterback position. The Falcons have given up top 12 results to four of their last five quarterbacks faced. And we've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick have some upside this year. He's been a top six fantasy quarterback twice. He's appeared in four games. Doug Martin, at this point, you know, he's been bad this year. I mean, he's been a major liability. And even, you know, it's kind of like, regardless of opponent, I want to see him do it. I want to see him reprove himself before I go back to him. Mike Evans has double-digit targets in three straight games that he hasn't been kicked out of. This Falcons defense is pretty strong at cornerback. It's not, you know, this is not a great matchup theoretically for Mike Evans, but I think this game has high scoring potential. Cameron Brait has been held to 12 yards or fewer three straight weeks, just not getting it done with Ryan Fitzpatrick in there. OJ Howard has been playing a bunch more. It's essentially a rotation. You can't really rely on those guys. DeSean Jackson has gone over 70 yards and or scored a touchdown in six of his last nine games. You get to play him this week on Atlanta's fast track. And so, you know, he's been a little bit more consistent than I anticipated this year. And I think that he's a solid wide receiver three play, and we can move on to the next one.
Evan, I think that that insight was excellent, although I had a fire to put out here since we're recording on a Saturday. My younger daughter was having an issue with YouTube Kids, which was an absolute, the biggest emergency in the history of the world.
I feel you, brother.
I got distracted for a couple seconds there as it was crocodile tears because YouTube Kids was pausing. I don't know why. So anyway, speaking of crocodile tears, let's talk about the Browns against the Bengals.
Yeah, we really have no interest in the Browns other than to talk about Duke Johnson and defenses playing against them. Bengals are a good streamer defense this week. Anytime a team is playing the Browns, they're a good streamer. So a little bit of narrative to discuss here for Duke Johnson. Tayshawn Gibson of the Jaguars came out last week and ripped the Browns. And then after last week's game, Isaiah Crowell exchanged jerseys with Tayshawn Gibson. And then we see on Friday, Kirby Wilson, the Browns OC, says that they're pretty much going to give Duke Johnson whatever he can handle on Sunday. They're going to use as much of him as they can. I mean, he's their best back. He's been their best back all year. Whether that narrative is true or not, you know, the anti-Crowell narrative, I have no idea. But I think that Duke Johnson is going to get the vast majority of snaps and touches in the backfield this week. It's not a great matchup against the Bengals from a run defense standpoint, but they have given up the fifth most catches, 12th most receiving yards to running backs this year. That, of course, plays to Duke Johnson's strengths. Corey Coleman stepped right into the number one receiver role last week, 93% of the snaps, 11 targets, led the team, became only two wide receivers all season have topped 70 yards against the Jaguars. Corey Coleman and Antonio Brown, pretty nice company for him to be in. This is not a good matchup. Only one wide receiver all season or since week three has topped 65 yards against the Bengals. But Corey Coleman can play, and you know, if you use him, I don't think it's a bad option. It's not great, but it's not bad. On the other side, I think that this is a good spot for Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in five straight games against the Browns. The Browns have gotten better in pass defense lately. They've started to move up the pass defense DVOA ranks. I don't think that it is an intimidating matchup by any means still. They don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, even though they lead the NFL in blitz rate. But I think that Andy Dalton is a solid streamer this week, and I think he's worth a look in daily fantasy. He was a top 10 quarterback last week against the Broncos, not expected. The Browns' defensive strength all year has been against the run. However, they gave up a big rushing line to the Lions in week 10, and then Leonard Fournette had 111 rushing yards against them last week. Leonard Fournette was not very efficient. They also lost Emmanuel Ogba, who has been a key player in their defensive front, to a broken foot last week, and I think that could hurt their run defense. With that said, I mean, Joe, the Bengals' running game is just broken, and so Joe Mixon is purely a volume play against the Browns. In the receiver core, A.J. Green, he gets a tougher matchup than it may seem against Jason McCourty, who has been a shutdown cornerback this year. He played a big role holding A.J. Green to five catches and 63 yards and a touchdown in week four. That was a week that we all went really hard on A.J. Green in fantasy, and it was kind of the week that Jason McCourty really put himself on the map. He'd been a solid to, you know, like an average to above average cornerback for a lot of years in Tennessee. They cut him, and he's been a top five NFL cornerback this year to the extent that the Browns coaching staff is actually using him to shadow number one receivers. He shut down Marquise Lee last week. So, the bet here is on A.J. Green. He's a great player, but I think that it should be discussed that his matchup may not be as good as it looks on paper. Brandon LaFell has not reached 50 yards in 9 of 10 games this season, even when McCourty kind of slowed him down in that week 4 game. Brandon LaFell had managed 2 catches for 17 yards, no touchdowns. I do like Tyler Kroft. Tyler Kroft had a big game in week 4 against the Browns. That's not necessarily predictive of what's to come. But all year, the Browns have been bad against tight ends. So I think that Tyler Kroft is one of my favorite tight end streamers. I'd certainly play him over a guy like Austin Hooper, who we discussed in the first game. We can move on to the next one.
Love it. Okay, let's get to Tennessee and Indy. Colts off a bye, Titans off, you know, playing on Thursday night.
Yeah, this game has taken money to the over, which made sense because I think that this game can be a little bit of a shootout. The game will be played indoors. Marcus Mariota finally gets, you know, he gets a good matchup. He's had a bunch of bad matchups in a row. Hasn't played, you know, promisingly by any means, but he gets a string of great matchups upcoming at Indianapolis versus the Texans, whose defense is just falling apart due to injuries, at Arizona, which is a pass funnel defense, and then at San Francisco, which is just a plain bad defense. That's his next 4 games. 9 of 10 quarterbacks to face the Colts have finished as top 14 fantasy producers on the week. So it, usually when you are playing the Colts, you're going to be a high floor play. The only quarterback to not finish as a top 14 fantasy quarterback against them was Tom Savage. I think that Marcus Mariota can get that done as a floor play with enough upside to be considered in daily fantasy. And also the Colts play a lot of man coverage, so that can be an edge for a running quarterback. We've seen Marcus Mariota start to run more after he was struggling to run due to a number of injuries. DeMarco Murray is at this point the only real option in the Titans backfield. He gets the 10-day layoff. You know, he's been banged up, man. I mean, entering that last game, he was listed on the injury report with 3 different injuries. He gets this 10-day layoff since that Thursday night beatdown loss to the Steelers to go up against this Colts defense that is minus Henry Anderson. It has given up 4.44 yards per carry to opposing running backs in its last 5 games, has allowed the 5th most receiving yards in the NFL to running back. So I like DeMarco Murray as a play this week. I think he's actually, and I'm usually not really on DeMarco Murray, I think he's actually an intriguing play in daily fantasy this week based on the matchup and based on the rest time and based on he continues to dominate the usage in that Titans backfield. Rishard Matthews showed up on the injury report on Thursday. He pulled his hamstring in Thursday's practice, did not practice on Friday. Now, the Titans are a team that is willing, they're like an old school coach team that is willing to let their guys play through injuries. We've seen that repeatedly with Delanie Walker, and we've seen it repeatedly with DeMarco Murray. And so I think that they'll probably just leave it up to Rishard Matthews to decide if he's ready to go. You know, of course, with some assistance from the trainers in a pregame workout. So I'm not assuming that he's out. And him being in or out affects Corey Davis, you know, and it affects Taywan Taylor. Okay, so if Rishard Matthews is in, he's going to be a risky play coming off a hamstring injury that prevented him from practicing on Friday in a good matchup, and that's just what it is. If he's out, Corey Davis becomes very, very intriguing against the Colts, and Taywan Taylor becomes a very interesting dart throw, like at minimum price in daily fantasy. He would take over that outside role. I think Eric Decker would stay in the slot. The main beneficiary might just be Delanie Walker, though, who looked very healthy last week against the Steelers, had over 90 yards. He's gone over 60 yards in 4 straight games, and he battled injuries early in the season, and it looks like he's healthy now. I mean, the Steelers had played shutdown tight end defense all year before that point. On the other side, Jacoby Brissett is my favorite streamer of the week. I own Dak Prescott in a lot of leagues, and I decided that I was going to bench him this week for Jacoby Brissett. And that's what I'm doing. Jacoby Brissett has been a top 15 fantasy quarterback in 6 of his last 8 starts. The Titans are terrible in pass defense. They don't get any pressure on the quarterback. They're 28th in sacks. They've given up the NFL's 3rd most touchdown passes. Jacoby Brissett can add value with his legs. we can ignore the Colts backfield at this point. Marlon Mack, I mean, we have to see where he is. He was losing playing time before the bye due to pass protection struggles, and the Titans are great in run defense. So it's a wait-and-see week for the Colts backfield. In the pass catcher core, love T.Y. Hilton. Anytime he's at home on the fast track at Lucas Oil Stadium, he's going to be a great play. The Titans got smashed by Antonio Brown in their last game. Before that, they gave up huge games to A.J. Green and Brandon LaFell. Brandon LaFell never has big games. The Titans have given up the most touchdown catches in the NFL to enemy receivers. So I think that you get Jacoby Brissett and T.Y. Hilton. It makes a lot of sense as a pairing this week. Chester Rogers replaced Kamar Aiken as the Colts' third receiver before the bye. Had a big game. I'm not trying to chase that. I do think that he's an interesting player to monitor. The Colts beat writers love Chester Rogers during training camp. Nothing really stuck out about him as an athlete, but I think he's a name to keep in mind. Jack Doyle is fifth among tight ends in targets, second in catches. When these teams met earlier in the season, he had 7 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. We can move on to the next one.
I can't believe how much information you have in that brain of yours, dude. It's unbelievable. Let's go. Buffalo, KC, we're back to Tyrod time. And, Evan, what is going on in your mind with Kansas City's offense?
I mean, I just think that they probably played above their heads, you know, a little bit early in the season. I mean, I don't think that there's any explanation beyond that. They have run into some more difficult matchups recently, and that game last week against the Giants, I mean, I expected them to play a lot better, but it was a win-impacted game. So I think it's probably just like regression back to normalcy combined with, you know, some outside factors. I mean, I think it's still going to – it needs to be a good offense because their defense is bad. But I think it's definitely a situation to discuss. I think that Kareem Hunt does get back on track here. And I know that, you know, people have been saying this for weeks, but I mean, we've been a little bit more cautious because we know that he has not been, you know, the workhorse that I think that people have assumed that he was. The Bills run defense is just, they're terrible. I mean, and they've been terrible even before they traded Marcell Dareus. They've given up 4.8 yards per carry to opposing running backs in their last 8 games. A bulk of that has been heavily skewed without Marcell Dareus. But, you know, any way you slice it, this is an awesome matchup for Kareem Hunt. The Bills are down to 31st in run defense DVOA. Another thing about Kareem Hunt, you know, is that his efficiency has just gone way down. I mean, he was 7.4 yards per carry in his first 4 games, 3.5 yards per carry in his last 6. The matchup doesn't look as great for Alex Smith. Only 1 of 10 quarterbacks to face the Bills have posted top 12 weekly fantasy results. But I think that the Chiefs are going to be able to move the ball on the Bills' defense. And I think that Alex Smith, you know, is a guy who's finished as a top 15 fantasy quarterback in 8 of his 10 starts. I think that he is a high floor play. I don't think we're going to be seeing those ceiling games that we saw from him early in the season. Only 2 guys to really talk about in the Chiefs pass catcher core. Travis Kelce has scored 11 of his 19 career touchdowns in home games. The Bills have given up the 8th most catches and 11th most yards in the NFL to tight ends. Tyreek Hill, we've talked about him as a home road guy, which is, I still think it's silly, but it's worked all season long. You know, now he's at home where he hasn't been as good, but I think that the matchup is good. I mean, AJ Green had a monster game against the Bills. They busted Keenan Allen's slump a couple of weeks ago. Michael Thomas had his highest yardage total against them. Tyreek Hill is just a tough guy to cover. So, you know, I'm not like using the home road splits against him when he's at home. But we're going to talk. I mean, we're going to talk about him every week until it stops happening. But I'm playing him for sure. On the other side, Tyrod Taylor is back for the Bills. The Chiefs have given up the most rushing yards to opposing quarterbacks in the NFL, in large part because they play so much man. We talk about this all the time. Now, the Chiefs, their defense has been bad, but they've continued to limit point production, you know, despite that. Like, they've been a little bend but don't break at home. They've held each of their last 10 opponents in home games to 20 points or fewer. So I think that there are some matchup edges for Tyrod. I think that he's kind of a risky streamer. I like Jacoby Brissett better than Tyrod this week, and I think that there is still a chance that, hey, what if he throws like two picks on the first two drives? Could they go back to Peterman? I'm not sure. I think that the big winner with Tyrod coming back is LeSean McCoy. We love running backs that play in offenses that are quarterbacked by dual threat passers, and the Chiefs are dead last in the NFL in DVOA run defense. They've given up the second most rushing touchdowns and the seventh most rushing yards to running backs. So I think that LeSean McCoy, great matchup for him. Kelvin Benjamin was out of practice all week. The Bills listed him as questionable. I would guess that he won't play, but we'll find out on Sunday. If he doesn't play, I think Zay Jones becomes really interesting. By the way, Jordan Matthews and Deontay Thompson are also listed as questionable, although they did practice, which would suggest that they likely will play. I think that Zay Jones becomes very interesting if no Kelvin Benjamin. Zay Jones, he has seven or more targets in three of his last four games. On the season, the Chiefs have given up the ninth most catches, fourth most yards to opposing wide receivers. Jordan Matthews, Deontay Thompson, doesn't really matter if they play at this point, can't really use them. Charles Clay came back from his knee injury. By the way, he's back on the injury report as well this week. But since he's come back, he's not playing as much. His snap rates are down. He's seen target totals of 3 and 4. So he's not a fantasy starter until his usage goes back up. And we can move on to the next one.
Okay, how about the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots in New England?
Yeah, so this should be a slaughter by the Patriots. I mean, you know, sometimes unpredictable things happen in the NFL. All the time unpredictable things happen. You know, I shouldn't even say unpredictable. I don't think that's the right word, but low probability things happen in the NFL all the time. That's why they play the games. That's what makes it fun. You know, but I think that this is going to be a slaughter by the Patriots. The Dolphins are 31st in pass defense DVOA. They got shredded by Ryan Fitzpatrick. The week before that, they got shredded by Cam Newton. They've given up the second highest passer rating in the NFL. Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and he should crush this. Rex Burkhead was a great play last week, but he turned in a bad result because he fumbled and he dropped a pass. And, you know, in the Patriots backfield, like, and then, you know, you lose, like, if you lose like 9 or 10 snaps, you know, you're going from like a 60% player to like a 40% player. And, you know, you're losing the opportunity to get like 3 or 4 touches, and touches are worth more in the Patriots offense than most offenses because they score a lot of points and they gain a lot of yards. And so he finished with 9 touches in a game where he probably should have had like 12 or 13. And he was kind of a dud in fantasy. Still saw 6 targets, more than Deion Lewis, more than James White. He still out touched James White. James White at this point, I don't think you can really use him. He's just not playing anymore, and he's not going to play certainly in a game where it looks like the Patriots are going to drop hammers. I think that Rex Burkhead is a low-end flex play this week. Deion Lewis, so if Mike Gillisley is inactive again, and I would expect that he would be, but you know, you kind of never know. I mean, he's healthy. If he's inactive again, Deion Lewis, one of my favorite plays this week. We've been able to count on him for 14 to 17 touches every week. We saw him a little bit more involved in the passing game last week. And the Patriots, because they're 17-point favorites against this terrible run defense, like, this is a game that sets up for them to put the ball in their running back's belly. And so they know that, and so that's why it gives me a little pause that maybe we'll see Mike Gillisley active this week, but we shall see. But if he's out, again, I really, really love Deion Lewis. And I mean, I like Deion Lewis regardless, but I really love him if no Gillislee. So we'll see about that. Rob Gronkowski kind of underwhelmed in back-to-back great matchups against the Broncos and Raiders. He gets another one. The Dolphins have given up the fifth most fantasy points to tight ends. Jared Cook ate him up. Ed Dixon ate him up. A.J. Howard, who really hasn't done much this year, he ate him up. All three, that's the Dolphins' last three tight ends to face them. No Chris Hogan again. So Brandon Cooks is an amazing play. He set or equaled season highs in targets with six catches in each of the games missed by Chris Hogan. I don't think that anybody in the Dolphins' secondary, certainly not Xavien Howard, who gets beat up every week, will be able to cover Brandon Cooks. We saw Danny Amendola pop up for a pretty good game last week against the Raiders. Maybe should have foreseen that better with no Chris Hogan. I still have a really tough time trusting him. He's gone over 50 yards just twice since week one. And, you know, he's a very PPR-oriented guy. He's not going to gain a lot of yards. He can have games where he catches a lot of passes. No Martellus Bennett this week, listed as doubtful. Just something to note. On the other side, we're going to see Matt Moore. Jay Cutler ruled out with the concussion. You know, I think that Matt Moore kind of inspires some excitement because his name isn't Jay Cutler. But I don't know if he's a very good fantasy play here. You know, it's probably going to be pretty cold in Foxborough this time of year. No quarterback to face the Patriots has finished above quarterback 14 on the week in fantasy since week six. They shut down Phillip Rivers, held Matt Ryan in check in that fog. Derek Carr did nothing against them last week. In the backfield, Kenyon Drake played more snaps than Damian Williams last week, but Damian Williams had more touches and severely outproduced Kenyon Drake, who had been severely outproducing Damian Williams to that point. Before that, the Patriots are bad at defending running backs. I mean, they give up 5.02 yards per carry, second most receiving yards in the league to the position. But this is just an even timeshare. You know, no one's pulling away. I think that we can project Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake for 9 to 13 touches, and that's it. They're both like risky flex options. So I went back and looked at all the target distribution from in Matt Moore games. We have a pretty decent sample size. It's like seven appearances. And I looked at who he's been throwing to. His favorite guy is Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry has 63 targets from Matt Moore over the past two seasons, including playoffs. I mean, that's his dude. And Jarvis Landry is going to get the best matchup in the slot against Justin Johnson, I think it is. I should know his name. The slot corner for the Patriots. It's a good matchup for Jarvis Landry either way. The tougher matchups will go to Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker, I'm a little bit – I would expect Stephon Gilmore to be on Devontae Parker and Malcolm Butler to be on Kenny Stills. Devontae Parker, I'm a little bit worried about because whereas Jarvis Landry has seen 63 targets from Matt Moore over the past two seasons, Devontae Parker has only seen 28. And Kenny Stills has seen significantly more at 48. I think that Kenny Stills is a better play than Devontae Parker this week. And then if you just go back and look at the box score results and you ignore the targets, I mean, significant lean toward Kenny Stills and away from Devontae Parker. I think that Kenny Stills is like he's still boom or bust, but I think that this is a game that sets up for Matt Moore to have a lot of attempts as the Dolphins try to rally back. And so that can put a guy like Kenny Stills into a good position, and certainly Jarvis Landry. No interest in Julius Thomas, and we can move on to the next one.
By the way, just like Jarvis Landry is Matt Moore's guy, you are my guy. And I think Jonathan Jones, is that the guy you were looking for the Patriots?
Yes, that's the man. That's
Jonathan
the man.
Jones. There you go. All right. See, teamwork. We're in this together. How about Carolina and the Jets? Jets coming off a bye. Carolina's been looking pretty darn good lately.
Yeah, Carolina has started to look really good. They're coming off the bye. As we've seen, you know, high variance results from teams coming off the bye. This has just been the case, like, every single week. They don't usually play in line with their norms, or they have a tendency to not play in line with their norms. With that said, I mean, Cam Newton, he's been balling, and the Jets have given up, or the Jets play man coverage. So I think that plays into his strengths. They've given up the third most rushing yards in the NFL to opposing quarterbacks. 7 of 10 quarterbacks to face the Jets have finished inside the top 12. Cam has been top 10 at his position in 5 of his last 7 starts. You know, pretty much everything to like about him. The Jets are a pass funnel. They play good run defense. They are not as good at defending the pass. I think this game sets up poorly for Jonathan Stewart. I think it sets up really well for Christian McCaffrey, who leads all NFL running backs in targets and receptions. Only Alvin Kamara has more red zone targets than Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is 4th in the NFL in targets inside the 10-yard line. They're trying to feed him the rock in scoring position. That's why he's been scoring touchdowns. Since Kelvin Benjamin was traded away, Christian McCaffrey and Devin Funchess tied for the team lead in targets. I think that we will see Morris Claiborne shadow Devin Funchess, but, you know, Morris Claiborne has been battling this foot injury. Last time we talked about this, he didn't even make it through the game. So, I mean, he hasn't been healthy since, like, week 7. So he's a guy to bet against until he shows us otherwise. Devin Funchess has been a monster in the box score, and the Jets have given up the 10th most catches, 5th most touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. Greg Olsen will be back. Now, on Friday, Ron Rivera said that he will be used judiciously, which suggests that there will be limitations on him that lowers his floor, but he has a great matchup. Jets have given up 8th most fantasy points in the NFL to tight ends, and I think if they're going to use him judiciously, I think what that means is that they will use him in passing situations and in the red zone. So, and, you know, just ask him to block less. So he may end up running the same number of routes as he usually would, just playing like 50% of the snaps. So I you know, this is one of the weakest positions in fantasy. I'm not going to get cute. If I have Greg Olsen, I'm starting him this week. On the other side, it's going to be a tough go for this Jets offense. I mean, the Panthers are they have maybe, you know, one of the best. I mean, they have a top 3 defense. They're not only number 6 in DVOA, but they're good against the pass and good against the run. So don't really have any interest in any Jets. It looks like Matt Forte could come back to make it a 3-way backfield committee. The Panthers have given up, you know, with those fast linebackers and solid safety play. The Panthers have given up the fewest yards in the NFL to tight ends, so that doesn't bode well for Austin Seferian Jenkins. The Panthers have also, you know, they play a lot of zone. They don't play. They don't give up big plays. They've given up the 6th fewest 20-plus yard pass plays. That is a concern for Robbie Anderson. I do think that Robbie Anderson is the best play here, but, you know, it's not a week that really pops out as like, ooh, this is going to be a Robbie Anderson week, and we can move on to the next one.
Okay, if we go to Chicago, they are playing against the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles at home.
Yeah, you know, I think the Bears have a solid defense, but they're going to be without Leonard Floyd, one of their best, maybe their best pass rusher. And Carson Wentz is just a stud, as you well know. Top 7 fantasy quarterback in 8 of 10 starts. That's just ridiculous production. I mean, that's like better than Tom Brady sort of production. The Bears have again, they're a solid defense. They've allowed the 5th fewest passing touchdowns in the NFL. Carson Wentz is a guy to bet on each and every week, almost regardless of opponent. You know, if you got too cute a couple weeks ago with him, you know, didn't use him against the Broncos or something, you know, you're kicking yourself after leaving a top 5 fantasy quarterback week on the bench. So we're using him against the Bears. The backfield, you know, I think that people had higher hopes for Jay Ajayi, but he is being used lightly. Last week, 8 touches, 20% of the snaps. Corey Clement played more. Corey Clement is used in the passing game more. Corey Clement is used in the red zone more. So Jay Ajayi has to rip long runs to help you in fantasy, which he's been doing it, but you know that's a tough way to live. And the Bears have been pretty good in run defense, 3.8 yards per carry allowed to opposing RBs. They've allowed the fifth fewest receiving yards in the NFL to running backs. LeGarrette Blount led the team. You know, the Eagles were ahead, so this was a game that was going to play to LeGarrette Blount. But you know, they weren't giving those carries to Jay Ajayi. They were going to LeGarrette Blount. This is a three-way backfield, man. It's not going to change at this point. In the receiver core, big revenge game for Alshon. He scored 4 touchdowns in his last 3 games. We've seen, the matchup isn't great against the Bears, about middle of the road, maybe a little bit below average. But we've seen, I think, the chemistry amp up between Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey. Zachers like missed some time, and maybe that helped them improve their chemistry. I'm using Alshon wherever this week for sure. Ertz saw only 5 targets last week coming off that hamstring injury, but that was a game where the Eagles didn't have to throw very much. So I'm going back to Ertz this week. He still played 94% of their offensive snaps. He should be, he's probably not 100%, but few players at this time of year are. Just going right back to him. Nelson Agholor has the toughest matchup in the pass catcher core for the Eagles this week. The Bears last week shut down Golden Tate. They have not allowed 55 yards to a single slot receiver through 10 games. We talked, I think, a little bit last week about how Torrey Smith has started to lose snaps to Matt Collins. That did not carry over coming out of the Eagles' bye. Matt Collins was 16% of the snaps against the Cowboys, and nothing really else to add there. I'll let you know if he starts playing more. Really tough spot for all the Bears. Eagles defense is awesome. Shut down the run. 4th in the NFL in sacks. Lead the NFL in quarterback hits. 2nd interceptions. We're playing the Eagles defense. You know, we're worried about Jordan Howard. Tarik Cohen suddenly started playing again last week. I don't know what to do with him. These are his number of touches. So Mitch Trubisky has started 6 games. These are Tarik Cohen's number of touches in Trubisky's start. 7, 15, 1, 5, 2, 13. I mean, you can't really rely on that. You can't live like that. Dontrell Inman would be like the kind of sleeper play this week for the Bears. He's led all Bears receivers in targets and snaps in each of the last 2 weeks. The Eagles have given up the 3rd most catches to opposing wide receivers. So I think if you're in like a deeper PPR league, Dontrell Inman makes some sense. People got really excited about Adam Shaheen last week without noticing that he blocked on 65% of the snaps. He ran fewer routes than air quotes Daniel Brown. Actually, Daniel Brown, an Ivy League guy, but he is the pass catching tight end when Deion Sims is out. Daniel Brown, not Adam Shaheen. And then now Deion Sims is due back. So, you know, I wouldn't be starting Adam Shaheen. He's in that same group to me as Ricky Seals-Jones. He plays a lot more than Ricky Seals-Jones, but he just seems fluky. He would need to show it to me again, and we can move on to the next one.
Okay, a couple items of clarification, Evan. Daniel Brown went to James Madison. Maybe confusing Daniel Brown with Ben Broniker, who went to Harvard. Broniker, a Bears tight end, went to Harvard, so there is an Ivy League. I'm pretty sure it's Tarik Cohen, right? Not Tarik Cohen? Or am I wrong? You live in Chicago.
I don't know. Joeek, Joke, Bell, you know, who knows?
I thought it was Tarik Cohen. And lastly, very important, it was pointed out to me in my 20th high school reunion last night that the Eagles have both a Jay and a Blount in the backfield. Let's go to Seattle at San Francisco. It's the first late game. What do you got?
Huge smash for Russell Wilson. He's the engine of the offense. The 49ers are terrible in defense. I think he'll be the highest owned quarterback in daily fantasy this week, and for good reason. Nothing to say about him beyond that. I think that J.D. McKissic was deserving of becoming the Seahawks lead back, and he got that treatment last week. 68% of the snaps, season high 12 touches. 49ers have given up the most receiving yards in the NFL to opposing RBs. J.D. McKissic, of course, played wide receiver in college, and he's a pass catching back. He ran 42 pass routes last week against Atlanta. I think he's an awesome play, like on DraftKings. I think he's very tempting to play in all PPR season long leagues. You can play him in the same lineup as Russell Wilson. He's going to have a big game here at some point, I think. And this game sets up really well for it to happen. I'm just ignoring Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy, all that. I mean, they've done nothing all year. It doesn't really matter that they're playing the 49ers. I just think that the run game is broken. Russell Wilson is this team's running game. In the pass catcher core, Jimmy Graham, huge smash spot for him. The chalk in daily fantasy should, and I think will, be Russell Wilson to Jimmy Graham. Redskins tight end smashed the 49ers. Cowboys tight ends, Eagles tight ends, Cardinals tight ends, Giants tight ends, all in their last five games. All those position groups scored a touchdown, except for the Redskins, who had got 102 yards from their tight ends. So Jimmy Graham, we know how awesome he has been. 49ers in their pre-bye win over the Giants also got beat up badly by Sterling Shepard, slot receiver, 11 catches for 142 yards. I think that bodes well for Doug Baldwin, who has scored a touchdown and or cleared 95 yards in four of his last five games. The matchups are good on the outside for Tyler Lockett and Paul Richardson. Tyler Lockett is just not getting it done as a receiver. Getting it done in the return game, not getting it done as a receiver. Zero touchdowns on the year, fewer than 40 yards in five of the Seahawks' last six games. Can't really use him in season long at this point. Paul Richardson, you can. He doesn't have a great floor, but he's got a good matchup, and he is essentially third in line for targets behind Graham and Baldwin, although McKissic may start to give him a run. C.J. Beathard earned another start. He's gotten better every week, and he's going to be facing a defense that is without Richard Sherman, Shaq Griffin, both their starting cornerbacks, Cliff Averill, maybe their best outside pass rusher, and Cam Chancellor. So I think you could play Beathard in two quarterback leagues. I would start to get worried that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to come in, if Beathard struggles or something like that. This is a tough matchup for Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde had one of those early season big games against the Seahawks when they were struggling in run defense. That just has not been the case. Last seven games, holding running backs to 2.7 yards per carry. I mean, they've been the best run defense in the league for the last seven games. Carlos Hyde is just a volume-based play. This pass catcher core, guys are coming back healthy now. It had been a mess before that. I don't want anything to do with it. I think the only guy to mention is Marquise Goodwin, who, of course, has been super up and down. He needs a 40-yard catch to pay off, and he gets them because he can run behind the defense. And I think that Seattle is more likely to give up big plays without their starting cornerbacks. But he's a scary guy to rely on. And we can move on to the next one.
Okay. Well, we're keeping it rolling in the late games here. The marquee game of the day, it's the Saints and the Rams. Looks like the Saints are going to be without their two top corners, Evan.
Yes. And the Rams are going to be without their nickel corner, Nickel Roby. Perfect name for a nickel corner. He is out with a thigh injury. And so I think this game is going to have a lot of points. I mean, I think the offenses match up really well with the defensive weaknesses, because the Rams have struggled in run defense. The Saints have become a run-oriented team. And then on the other side, The Saints have been great in pass defense, but now they could become a severe liability in pass defense without Ken Crawley and Marshawn Lattimore, and they lost Alex Okafor to a torn Achilles. That's three critical pass defenders that they're going to be without this week, and they're going to be pushing back Kenny Vaccaro, slot corner slash safety, from a groin injury that cost them the last two games. I mean, this game, you know, Jared Goff, awesome matchup. The weakness up until now for the Saints has been in run defense. And, you know, like on the season, the Saints have also given up the seventh most catches in receiving yards to running backs. They're 26th in run defense DVOA. So this is a very good matchup for Todd Gurley as well. He should be one of the safest plays on the board with the highest ceiling. You know, what we're always looking for really are guys that we think have high floors and high ceilings, and that's Todd Gurley. So Jared Goff is going to be without Robert Woods. That removes – I mean, he had been kind of dominating targets since their bye. 26 targets since their bye. Next closest was Cooper Kupp at 19. And I think that the primary beneficiary here is going to be Cooper Kupp, mainly because Jared Goff had shown a rapport with just two guys in the pass catcher core so far this year, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. He hasn't shown that at all with Sammy Watkins. So I think that Cooper Kupp is the play here in terms of having a floor and in terms of having touchdown upside, because we know he has dominated red zone and targets inside the 10 all season long. I do think that Sammy Watkins' outlook is elevated, but you know, he hasn't been getting targets, but his matchup is so much better this week. So what I own him in one season long league. And, you know, I'm trying to decide between him and, like, Larry Fitzgerald against the Jags. And I'm probably just going to go with Larry Fitzgerald. But that's the kind of, like questions, you know, that I'm asking myself this week. I think that he's still, like, a guy that we should look at as, like, a boom or bust guy, because we just haven't seen a floor from him at all this season. Not really interested in the tight ends. Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett continue to share time. Saints have given up the third fewest yards in the NFL to tight ends this year. In terms of who's going to actually replace Robert Woods in the lineup, it could be a number of guys. I mean, number one, they could play Gerald Everett more. They line him up at wide receiver anyway. They could play Josh Reynolds, Mike Thomas, Farrell Cooper, and Tavon Austin. So, and it could just end up being a mix of all those guys, which that's probably what it will be. And so I think the guys to look at as beneficiaries are the guys that already have established roles, and that would be Kupp, Watkins, maybe even Todd Gurley to some extent, because he's very active in their passing game. So we know that each week Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara are both awesome plays. Mark Ingram usually a little bit better play because he gets more touches and he gets more action and scoring position. The matchup is very good for both of them against the Rams. They've allowed 4.51 yards per carry to opposing RBs, third most fantasy points in the league. But I did want to note one development last week. So usually Ingram gets more touches than Kamara, but the Saints fell behind the Redskins last week. They came back to win, but they played most of the game from behind. And so Alvin Kamara played 65% of the snaps, and that was a season high for him. Mark Ingram was down to 39%. So I think that if the Saints fall behind, which, hey, they could without their two stud corners in a game like this, then we could end up seeing more Alvin Kamara than Mark Ingram. Now, they had the same amount of touches last week, so it's not like Ingram is going to go away. But if you want to kind of, you know, bet that the Saints will fall behind, Alvin Kamara, I think, would be the primary beneficiary. mentioned before how Nickell Robey-Coleman, he's been one of the best slot corners in the league. He's going to be out. I think that helps Drew Brees. The Rams have played very good pass defense this year, but you know, you have to like this game shootout potential for Drew Brees. I mean, it's very conceivable that they just get in the red zone a bunch and he ends up throwing a bunch of red zone touchdowns. You know, so I'm not overthinking anything with Drew Brees. I think he's very much in play in daily fantasy as well. You can play him with the RBs, certainly with Kamara, who has the most red zone targets in the NFL among running backs. Michael Thomas, you know, as goes Drew Brees, as goes Michael Thomas. I think it's worth noting, especially when he's on the road, that he has strong road game splits. He scored 7 of his 11 career touchdowns on the road, averages 83 yards per game on the road, only 68.5 yards per game at home in his career. Ted Ginn, you know, he gets it done on low volume. I mean, he's averaging 4 targets per game over his last 8 games, and he has gone over 60 yards and or scored a touchdown in 6 of those 8 games. So we always know what we're getting into. He's a low volume, big play, touchdown dependent fantasy option. Brandon Coleman, Willie Snead continue to share snaps in the slot. No interest in that. Kobe Fleener popped up for a game last week, 5 catches for 91 yards. You know, this is what happens when, I mean, we're getting a clear read now on what's happening, on what happens when the Saints fall behind. Alvin Kamara plays more. Kobe Fleener is going to be on the field more. Kobe Fleener doesn't play when they're ahead because he can't block. So, you know, if you want to bet that the Saints will fall behind, they are, I think, 2.5-point underdogs. You know, you could try to stream Kobe Fleener. The matchup isn't great. Rams allowing the 10th fewest fantasy points to tight ends. We can move on to the next one.
Guessing that there won't be as many guys to talk about in this one, but maybe I'm wrong. Jacksonville and Arizona.
Yeah, so Jalen Ramsey says he's not playing. He has played almost all outside cornerback this year. They love Aaron Colvin, and for good reason. I mean, you look at the slot receivers that have faced the Jags, they're getting shut down every week. Keenan Allen, 4 catches for 48, no touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, 2 catches for 35, no touchdowns. Eric Decker, 3 catches for 32, no touchdowns. Jeremy Maclin, 1 catch for 8, no touchdowns. So, I mean, Aaron Colvin's a baller. I think that there was going to be a chance, though, that the Jags would use Jalen Ramsey to shadow Larry Fitzgerald. So you don't have to worry about that. It's a really difficult matchup anyway you slice it for Fitz, man. You know, again, I'm probably going to end up starting him. But I think that there is some reason for concern. He did lead the Cardinals in everything in Blaine Gabbert's first start. He's the perfect kind of receiver, I think, for Blaine Gabbert's skill set. Ricky Seals-Jones scores 2 touchdowns last week. He played 8 snaps and ran 5 pass routes. That is not a situation to chase. We can just ignore the Cardinals' tight ends. I mean, he's a third-string tight end, you know, so we're not chasing there. Adrian Peterson, you know, he's got 15 or more touches in 4 of his 5 games as a Cardinal. The Jaguars have played shutdown run defense since they acquired Marcell Dareus. 2.3 yards per carry allowed to opposing RBs in 3 games since. You know, Adrian Peterson, purely a volume play this week. He does catch the Rams at home next week, the Rams in Arizona, so I think he'll be a better play next week. But this could be one of those games where he gets, like, you know, 18 carries for 19 yards. I mean, that's how it kind of sets up. On the other side, Leonard Fournette, not a good matchup for him. Cardinals top 10 run defense, holding RBs to 3.5 yards per carry. The good news is battling back from that ankle injury, 30 touches last week, second highest snap rate of the season, 67%. He's, you know, the volume is going to be there for Leonard Fournette, and so that is comforting and raises his floor and raises his ceiling. We should see him rip a long run pretty, you know, in the soon future. We haven't seen one of those really in a while, but I think that we'll see one eventually, because that's what Leonard Fournette does with that absurd speed score, like Bo Jackson like speed score. Blake Bortles didn't pay off for people that want that used him against the Browns last week. It's going to be a better environment this week at Arizona. I don't know if they'll have the retractable roof open or not, but the weather's going to be good either way. The Cardinals have given up top 12 fantasy results to 7 of 10 quarterbacks faced, and they play a lot of man, so they can be vulnerable to the dual threat quarterbacks. Blake Bortles is now 9th among quarterbacks in rushing yards. He's been running more lately. That will always help your quarterback's fantasy value. I think he's a 2-quarterback league play and a worrisome streamer. Marquise Lee had a deal with Jason McCourty last week, was held to 45 scoreless yards. Patrick Peterson this week, no thanks. Dede Westbrook comes in last week, finally makes his debut. 6 targets, 2nd on the team. Only 3 catches for 35 yards, only 44% of the snaps. He was their 3rd receiver. I think that we'll see him play more this week, and he becomes pretty interesting with Patrick Peterson likely to be on Marquise Lee. Keelan Cole moved into the slot last week with Westbrook and Lee outside, and the Cardinals have been really bad against slot receivers. Bruce Ellington had 6 for 63 against them last week. Golden Tate had 10 for 107. Doug Baldwin, 5 for 95. Nelson Aguilar, 4 for 93 and a touchdown. Cooper Kupp, 4 for 51 and a touchdown. Adam Humphrey, 6 for 51. It's a good matchup for Keelan Cole. He's not an easy guy to trust. We still kind of were learning about him. You know, he hasn't played a whole lot. I mean, he's played a decent amount. But, you know, he's a difficult guy to trust. But it should be noted that he is playing a lot now, and he has a good matchup, and we can move on to the next one.
Denver, Oakland. We will get some Paxton Lynch, and we get a new offensive coordinator for the Broncos and a new defensive coordinator for the Raiders.
Yeah. So Derek Carr, he's just been bad. I mean, he continually flops against, like, weak pass defenses. I mean, he couldn't get it done against the Dolphins, couldn't get it done against the Patriots, couldn't get it done against the Redskins. His last 4 weekly finishes against the Broncos are quarterback 23, quarterback 21, quarterback 24, quarterback 27. He's a 2-quarterback league play, and that's it. You know, I don't know if he's, like, shook from the back injury, but he's a check-down machine. And that's hurting his receivers, and it is, you know, certainly hurting him. The offense is like it reached a state of dysfunction. The Broncos have been – they've quietly given up the most touchdown passes in the NFL, but they have stayed great in run defense. I mean, they have not even flinched at all against the run. Marshawn Lynch has topped 13 touches once since week 1. No interest in him in this matchup. Amari Cooper – has never done well against the Broncos. Michael Crabtree has never done well against the Broncos. You know, I think that their outlooks are a little elevated this particular year because the Broncos have not been that great in pass defense. Their pass rush just hasn't been there this season. So, Amari Cooper is like a wide receiver 4 in this matchup. Michael Crabtree, like a not an exciting wide receiver 3/flex. Jared Cook, I think, is the best play in the Raiders' pass catcher core. He leads the team in receiving yards on the season. The Broncos have given up the 2nd most fantasy points to tight ends. They've given up the most receiving yards in the AFC to tight ends. So good matchup for Jared Cook, who has been highly productive all season long. I have no faith in Paxton Lynch. I mean, I thought that he had some promising moments in his rookie preseason. And I thought he would get on the field as a rookie. The only reason he did wind up getting on the field as a rookie was because Trevor Siemian missed a couple games, and Paxton Lynch was awful in those games. Could not move the offense, was terrible in fantasy, was terrible in real life, and then got beat out soundly by Trevor Siemian in 2017 training camp and suffered a apparently very severe throwing shoulder injury. Because as of last month, he still couldn't throw anything beyond like checkdowns and, you know, maybe something in like the 10 to 12 yard range. People are going to play him in daily fantasy this week. He's so cheap on DraftKings. So I really can't, you know, I can't blame him. And he's playing the friggin' Raiders. You know, they have their terrible defense. It makes sense. But I'm not going to play him because I think he's terrible. And look, there have been plenty of times in the past where I thought that a guy was bad and was like, I'm not going to play that dude. And then he goes on to have a good game. I mean, that has happened, you know, countless times, and it will happen countless times in the future. This is my bias that I don't like to bet on players that I don't think are good. That's my number one bias. In the backfield, I think that this is a very interesting game for Devontae Booker, who the Broncos really should lean on him. He's played really well. I know he really stunk it up after he got that starting job. I don't know what the deal was, but he was playing really well in the first half of the season last year. C.J. Anderson, he was about to overtake C.J. Anderson. C.J. Anderson gets hurt, and then Devontae Booker gets a starting job and kind of blows it. And everyone's like, oh, he sucks. And so, I mean, I get that, but people forget that he was playing really well before that, and he's played really well so far this year. And then last week, C.J. Anderson fumbles. Devontae Booker, season high, 19 touches, 98 total yards, 59% of the snaps. Even though he got a late start on the season, Devontae Booker leads all the Broncos running backs in targets, catches, and receiving yards. The Raiders get smashed in the receiving game by RBs. Six most receiving yards allowed to running backs. So the game sets up really well from a theoretical and matchup standpoint for Devontae Booker. Can we really rely on him to get 19 touches again? I don't know. You know, C.J. Anderson could pop back up. Jamaal Charles, who I think only had 3 touches last week, he could pop back up a little bit. But it's the game. I'm using him where I have him. I'm using Devontae Booker where I have him. Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders, you're just kind of on your own. I went back and looked at Paxton Lynch, from, 2016 for like trying to find strong connections. Oh, does he favor one guy? No. You're kind of on your own. You're hopeful that, they have good matchups. Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders have great matchups. And I don't know what to expect from their quarterback play. I mean, the dude could go out and throw for like 137 yards, and then you're screwed. That's all I got, man. Good luck.
All right. Well, let's get to the night games then. I'm curious to see how Paxton Lynch, as much as anybody. Speaking of quarterbacks, oh my goodness, Evan, it's Green Bay at Pittsburgh. And the thing is Hundley, at times when his back foot hits, he'll make a good throw. He scrambled for a couple first downs last Sunday, but the guy took 2 sacks on fourth down. And for me, Evan, you literally would never have to tell me anything else about a quarterback. I'm done with the guy. 2 sacks on fourth down just shows no understanding of the game situation. He also had 3 horrendous interceptions last week. Now he's on the road in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Soldier Field and got that win, made a couple nice throws the week before, and it seemed like maybe he was starting to, he played with a little bit more confidence in that game, and it just went all out the window. I mean, not that we had high expectations of him, against the Ravens, but we have very low expectations of him right here. I mean, the Steelers' defense, the best play on the board. First of all, they're great on defense. They're 2nd in the NFL in sacks, 5th in quarterback hits, 4th in interceptions. I'm playing as much Steelers' defense as I can, wherever I can. Jamaal Williams has gotten 21 and 22 touches each of the last 2 games. Aaron Jones ruled out. Ty Montgomery, doubtful. Devontae Mays he fumbled last week, so... that puts him. I mean, it's going to be all Jamaal Williams.
Twice. He fumbled on his first 2 carries. The second one, they recovered. He fumbled on his first 2 carries.
What a disaster. He never fumbled in college. You know, sometimes guys get nervous. I mean, he's 21 years old, you know. I can't even imagine how nervous I would have been at age 21 on an NFL football field. Either way, Jamal Williams should just dominate the backfield this week. Problem is, Steelers have been great in run defense lately. Zero rushing touchdowns allowed over their last five games to opposing running backs, 2.98 yards per carry. There is one league where I'm using Jamal Williams, but you know, not really loving it, just purely based on volume. Devontae Adams continues to produce. He's the only guy that has been productive with Hundley at quarterback. You know, I think Hundley just kind of decides where he's going when he steps out of the huddle or when he's in the huddle. And Devontae Adams is where he's going. The Steelers without Joe Hayden are not nearly as good in pass defense. We saw Rashard Matthews blow him up. We saw Marvin Jones blow him up. Chester Rogers, who's never had a big game in his career, he blew him up. T.J. Jones had 88 yards. Golden Tate, 7 for 86. Dante Moncrief, 60-yard touchdown, all in the last three games against the Steelers. So I still hesitate to call Devontae Adams trustworthy, but the data that we have to this point suggests that he is a good play. I mean, he's dominating targets. He's been productive in all but one of Brett Hundley's starts. So I think you keep rolling him out there. Jordy Nelson, it's sad, man. It's sad. But hopefully Aaron Rodgers will be back in week 15, and teams that have made it that far will be able to go back to Jordy Nelson. But he is completely unusable at this point. We did not do the Steelers. I'm sorry. Steelers offense. It looks like a bad matchup on paper for Le'Veon Bell based on all the metrics. However, the Packers are going to be without Kenny Clark, stud defensive lineman. He's out, I think, neck injury, I believe it is. And Clay Matthews is questionable, and he had DNPs all week, did not practice at all this week. So they may be without their second best defensive lineman, but I mean, he's getting to the point where he's almost as good as Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, and then their defensive leader. I think that Clay Matthews is not as good as he used to be, but he's still like a key player in their defense. So all this bodes well for Le'Veon Bell, in addition to the fact that he leads the NFL in carries, leads the NFL in rushing yards, and he's a huge home favorite. Le'Veon Bell should get a ton of work in this game. Roethlisberger has started to play a little bit better in the box score recently. It's shaky still with him. You know, he'll go long stretches where it's like, what is he doing out there? But he's surrounded by so much talent that it can elevate his play. And I mean, they can rip big plays. And I think that this is a huge game for Antonio Brown, where I think it's going to be, you know, Antonio Brown, maybe Martavis getting him up and then Le'Veon putting them away. I think Roethlisberger, you know, at home against the Packers, they've been a pass funnel. I think Roethlisberger's a solid start this week. Martavis, I mean, Antonio Brown, you know, what else is there to say? He's awesome. When he has a slow game, bet on him the next week. No Juju Smith-Schuster, hamstring. Martavis Bryant, you know, they've been trying to force it to him, and he hasn't been productive at all. I mean, he hasn't been converting. But I think that they're going to continue to force it to him, and this gives them, like, an added opportunity to force it to him, because now he's going to be, like, a starter. He's only been, like, a 55, 58% player the last couple of weeks when Juju Smith had taken over as the clear number two. But now he's going to be the number two. He's real cheap in daily fantasy. He's tempting in season long. The matchup is good. You know, I think that they're going to force him chances. It's just going to be a matter of whether he converts. And he has not been converting this year. So that's where we are with Martavis Bryant. And we can move on to the next one.
It's also the last one, and I will be on the sideline. It's the Houston Texans in Baltimore to take on a Ravens team that already has three shutouts this year. Now it's Tom Savage on the road in primetime against the Ravens. This does not feel like a big fantasy game to me.
No, not at all. Ravens defense, you know, I mean, there are two plays that, well, I mean, there are a bunch of good defensive plays this week, you know, Bengals against the Browns, Steelers are against the Packers, I think are my favorite, but the Ravens will be real close. So I think the Ravens are an awesome defensive play. Also, the Ravens over their last eight games at home, 13.8 yard points allowed. As you mentioned, the shutouts will definitely help you there. This could be another shutout. Ravens are playing good run defense again. 2.56 yards per carry allowed to RBs in their last three games. That's concerning for Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller is like in a similar position to Jamal Williams, who we just talked about. I think he's more talented than Jamal Williams. But he's going to get a lot of work. You know, Dante Foreman ripped his Achilles. Lamar Miller is going to get a lot of work in a bad matchup against on the road as an underdog. So very, you know, not very unideal situation for Lamar Miller. But I think we can expect him to get a lot of work. DeAndre Hopkins has been able to produce with Tom Savage at quarterback. I mean, Savage will throw him the ball. You know, I mean, Savage is not afraid as a thrower. You know, that's his calling card, his strength. And he will rip it to DeAndre Hopkins. The Ravens have allowed the second fewest fantasy points in the league to opposing wide receivers. Only Jacksonville has allowed fewer. So reasons to be cautious about the matchup, but I think the volume is going to be there for DeAndre Hopkins, and he's a great player. I think that Bruce Ellington can have a decent game here. So the Ravens turn to Maurice Kennedy, second-year player, last week at slot corner. He's played 43 career defensive snaps. No Will Fuller, again, for the Texans. So Bruce Ellington is going to be leaned on heavily. He was, you know, he didn't crush it last week against Arizona, but six catches for 63 yards at like minimum price in daily fantasy, you'll take that, you know. And then if he can tack on a touchdown, then he really would have smashed. And I think that he has another good matchup here. The matchups are good for the Ravens. It's just, you know, the Ravens haven't been, I mean, Joe Flacco in particular hasn't been productive all season. I mean, he's been a top 16 fantasy quarterback in one of 10 starts. He hasn't thrown for 270 yards in a game since week 14 of the 2016 season. The matchup, like each of the last four quarterbacks to face the Texans have been top 10, but I think that Flacco is just a two quarterback league play, and that's pretty much it. Like I'm streaming Ryan Fitzpatrick over him this week in leagues where I'm like, you know, streaming every single week. Danny Woodhead was back last week. So the game was, you know, lopsided. So it's hard to say for sure, you know, what to expect. The Ravens did come out and say on Friday that that there would be no restrictions on Danny Woodhead. But does that mean that Buck Allen's going away? Because last week it was Woodhead 6 touches, Buck Allen 4 touches. Woodhead 22% of the snaps, Buck Allen 17% of the snaps. What you want is Buck Allen to go away if you're a Danny Woodhead owner. And I'm not so sure that that's going to happen. They could keep a three-way committee. Terrence West, by the way, full practice all week. He jumps in. So I have Woodhead in leagues, and, you know, I'm not ready to play him. The Texans have also given up the fourth fewest receiving yards in the league to running backs. I think Alex Collins is the play. Alex Collins, you know, the coach speak worked for once. Last week, the Ravens coaching staff said, we're going to go with him as our feature back. He set season highs in touches, 24, targets, 7. We had not seen Alex Collins play in the passing game. 64% of the snaps, another season high. So I think he's the play. The Texans have been very good in run defense. But Alex Collins, I mean, if he's going to get that kind of usage, he's an every week fantasy starter as an RB2. Larry Fitzgerald beat up the Texans slot coverage last week. The week before that, Cooper Kupp had 6 catches against him. I think that this is a good matchup for Jeremy Maclin. He runs 60% of his routes in the slot. He was a disappointment last week. I had a lot of him in daily fantasy. You know, didn't kill you, but I expected a little bit more. The Texans have been especially vulnerable to outside receivers. I mean, the Texans just aren't a very good defense, period. But they've gotten ripped by T.Y. Hilton, Robert Woods, Paul Richardson, Tyler Lockett, Sammy Watkins, all in the recent past. Mike Wallace, you know, you never love to play Mike Wallace in fantasy, but the matchup is good for him. He came off the bye last week, made a great touchdown catch against the Packers. He's going to be out there a lot against a team that I'm not so sure can cover him. And then the Ravens came out of their bye. They're using a three-way tight end rotation: Nick Boyle, Max Williams, Ben Watson. Ben Watson played a season low 44% of the snaps. Situation to avoid, and that takes care of the Week 12 feast.
Evan, that was amazing, like it always is, and like I always tell you, now that you have that knowledge, take the knowledge, go to the draft app that you've already downloaded. If you haven't, you should, because you can play in a real live NBA or NFL draft right now. You're done under 5 minutes. You get paid out the next day. So you have a great opportunity now. You just heard all the information on Saturday. Download the draft app. You're done under 5 minutes. If you use the promo code FEAST, you get a free entry into a real money draft. You just have to use the first deposit and the code FEAST. Again, with your first deposit, use the promo code FEAST, and you get to play in a real money draft for free. Here's the best part, though. They are so hardcore about getting you guys to try this, they'll give you a money-back guarantee up to $100 if you don't like it. Money-back guarantee. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code FEAST, baby. That'll do it. Good stuff, Evan, as always. Check him out on Twitter, like I said earlier, at Evan Silva. We will be back with a little bit more of a normal schedule next week. Appreciate you guys bearing with everybody. I was at a game on Thursday. Brian was at a game on Friday. Evan was traveling earlier in the week to be with his family. We were all traveling a million times. You guys know how it is. But we got it to you. We got it done. And hopefully you guys can get it done by spreading the word on social media. All it takes is a retweet or a like. It takes less than a second. Just a little click. Just a little click, 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 click. iTunes rankings comments for studs only. And other than that, Amazon PayPal over at rostucker.com if you want to win the Madden this week. I think we're done here. I'm stuffed.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, "Honey, I need to get a new car," I said, "TrueCar," because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, "Hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area." It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.